Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series The Gospel, The Good News of God Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org Subject of this audio The Limit of the Unlimited Gospel Chapter 1 Focused on the recipient of the offer In the first subject of the series on the Gospel of God, named much more than a message, an offer of life, it has been widely presented that the gospel offered by God goes far beyond beautiful and sublime theoretical words. The gospel of God is a real offer of heavenly life and of what is necessary to live in this new condition of life. The aspects that are part of the gospel of God, as a whole, make up the most important good news since ever already directed to human beings at all times. No previous offer of good news and no previous delivery of good things were as broad, profound, and meaningful as that which was directed to humanity through the gospel of God. The offer of the gospel of God, however, is also singular, in comparison to the many other offers in the world, because of the uniqueness of the one who presents the offer as well as the recipients of his offer. The gospel of God is distinct from any other offer in the world, for it has its origin in the eternal God, the creator of heaven and earth and all that is in them, as well as it also is distinct because of the purpose that the one who presents the offer has in relation to the addressees of this offer. The gospel of God is not a gift that can be dissociated from the one who presents the offer and from the recipient of the offer. The gospel of God is not the giving of a gift in which the recipient can receive the gift and can use it separately from the offerer. The gospel of God is an offer of a gift for the re-establishment of the relationship of the one who presents the offer with the recipient of the offer and vice versa. 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. The receiving of the gospel of God is related to the fact that a person understands that the offerer, the offer, and the purpose of the offer aim at the same end, which is the reconciliation of the recipient of the offer with the one who presents his offer to the humanity. In the offers that are dumped every day in the world, there is not always a fair balance between the interests of the offerers and the recipients of the offer. Often, the offerers want to benefit improperly from the recipients of the offers, and often the recipients want to get more from the offerers than it is right. Moreover, also because of this aspect, that the role of the participation of the ones who present offers and also of the addressees of the offers are so important in many cases. There are situations in the world where the motivation of the one who presents an offer and the addressees of the offers are even more decisive for the conclusion of the whole process than the offer itself. In the case of the gospel of God, each one of the aspects involved with the offer it presents is highly significant. The one who presents the offer itself, the purpose of the offer, and also the recipients of the offer have a vital importance so that the gospel of God can be understood more extensively. Every aspect of the gospel of God is precious and worthy of being known, but also the characteristics of the origin and the purpose of this gospel of God are equally valuable. Moreover, given the extent of the various characteristics of the gospel of God, we intend to address several of them in more than one subject, and we intend to cover them according to the different names that the scriptures themselves attribute to the one gospel of God. Behind every name that is assigned to the gospel of God, there is a broad availability of benefits offered by God to those who receive his gospel. Nevertheless, in view of the importance of the crucial role that the recipients of the gospel have in relation to what is offered to them by God, we would like to extend ourselves a little more in the present subject on this specific aspect. Considering that the participation of the recipient of the offer is decisive for the conclusion of the process involving an offer, We understand that it is important to consider this specific point in advance and before many other also essential points of the Gospel of God. Chapter 2. The Limit Border of the Limitless Gospel. Regardless of how extensive or comprehensive an offer may be, it will always have to respect the kind of limit that applies to every offer in order to it remain as an authentic offer. In the first theme of the series of subjects on the Gospel, it was described that an offer, as one of its specific characteristics, is connected to the fact that it can be accepted or rejected. The option of accepting or rejecting an offer is an inseparable part of the central aspects that constitute a genuine offer. No matter how big the offer is and no matter how big the announcement of an offer is, an offer cannot expand beyond a common border to all offers. If an offer goes beyond this boundary, it ceases to be an offer. Moreover, the border that limits an offer is the same for small offers, for big offers, for offers of great importance, for minor offers, for temporary offers, or for eternal offers. The border or the limit of a genuine offer is the will of the recipient of the offer to receive it or not to receive it. The Gospel of God, as already stated, is unequaled and unlimited, just as God is unlimited. The Gospel of God has no limits on the kinds of people to whom it is directed. The Gospel of God is addressed to all people without distinction. And the Gospel of God also has no limited benefits in its capability to abundantly supply all that it offers. The sources of the benefits of God's Gospel are inexhaustible. On the other hand, however, the Gospel of God, for being an offer, encounter itself, like all other offers, with a limitation, which is the will of the recipient whether to accept or not to accept the offer. Even though God offers His grace abundantly and immeasurably through the Gospel, the recipient of this grace has a determining role in the actual reception of this grace. There are so many gifts that God gives to human beings regardless of how they behave themselves in relation to the Lord. A newborn child, for instance, receives the breath of life and oxygen regardless of his or her own will. As for the Gospel of God, however, the gifts of it are presented by God as an offer, and as such, they are conditioned to be released according to the acceptance or non-acceptance of the recipients of them. The act of God to present, through the Gospel, His special offer of life in Christ, is not conditioned to the will of human beings. God offers it freely by His own will, but the acceptance of the Gospel of God is conditional and depends on the posture of the recipient or addressee of this specific offer. As for the Gospel of God, the power of the recipient's will is very expressive and impressive. The power of the will of the recipient can prevent him or her of the abundant and unlimited grace that God wants to share with everyone through His Gospel. It is impressive to see how the sum of all the benefits which God offers in His Gospel passes through such a small, but very powerful, filter. The filter of acceptance or non-acceptance of the Gospel of God that can be exerted by the recipient of this Gospel. So, to know that the Gospel of God is a gift that has the characteristics of an offer is of paramount importance, for the Gospel of God was not designed to be given to people regardless of their will. The Gospel of God, endowed with the unlimited resources of the Lord's goodness, respects a limit, respects a boundary, the boundary of the will to be received or not to be received by the recipient to whom the offer is presented. Chapter 3. The disposition of the recipient of the Gospel precedes the actual receiving of the Gospel. People can study about the Gospel, people can talk about the Gospel, and people can hear years and years about the Gospel of God, but yet do not actually receive it. Other people may even have an ongoing opportunity to access the Gospel announcement, they may have the opportunity to receive information on how to gain access to it, but yet do not give due importance to it. An individual can be surrounded by the most abundant offer of the grace of God and yet not be attentive to it. In this way, In many situations where the analysis of an offer is made, the analysis of some aspects of the offerer and the offer itself is also carried out. However, often the analysis of the aspects related to the recipient of the offer stays at a second or inferior level. Moreover, regarding the gospel of God, this can also occur. Often people want to attribute to God and the announcers of the gospel of God the reason why they do not have a greater knowledge of the details of God's offer. However, as already mentioned, making a great effort to proclaim the gospel will not, in itself, benefit the recipient of this offer of God if one persists in not opening the understanding and the heart to comprehend and receive what is offered by God. The present series of subjects on the gospel of God can serve as helping tool about this gospel if one is or will become willing to understand this gospel that God offers and if one is willing to receive the heavenly offer that this same gospel seeks to grant him or her. Obviously, we are not saying here that the reader should receive the gospel of God blindly, without understanding, or without a reflection about the offer that God makes to him or her. What we mean is that as long as the reader is not willing to understand the gospel of God and to accept this offer in one's personal life, the reader will remain putting a limit and a division that keeps him or her away from the gospel of God, even if one knows it intellectually and learns about it by informative knowledge. A reality of many human beings, and perhaps more accentuated in the generations that have had access to large scale of theoretical knowledge and computers, is that they, too many times, are easily satisfied with information about something without necessarily wanting to know it for real or in fact. Thus, we understand that it is significant to highlight that the gospel of God, although also announced through an informative way, is not the transfer of just some theoretical knowledge, but, as has already been said, it is an offer of life and an offer of a living relationship with the life to be received and developed. The gospel of God is offered to be believed, trusted, and received by the one to whom it is directed. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Bible references related to the benefits of the gospel of God and the practical attitudes of the recipients regarding this same gospel are mostly exposed in parallel or together. Moreover, while an individual actively or even passively rejects the gospel of God, he or she is not qualified to receive the benefits of this gospel, even though it is already amply available to all people. In addition, in the texts that we just saw above, it still may also be observed that the gospel is given for people to remain in it in perseverance even after they have received it, that is, it also continues to apply to Christians or for those who have already received it once. Choosing the gospel of God is not necessarily an easy choice to make, nor it is necessarily an easy option to be followed in perseverance, but it is the only option of true new life for the present time and the eternity. John 6:67-69. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Choosing the gospel of God and making an option for a life of fidelity to God can even result in some displeasures and persecutions because when one receives the gospel of God, one receives it also in the midst of the world that is in opposition to the will of God. 2 Timothy 2:8-13. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So, the ones who expects to receive the gospel of God as a kind of life where all oppositions to live a life of fidelity to God are removed, already in the present world, are not with the eyes in the true gospel of God. Thereby, they are expecting a distorted proposal about what, in fact, is the offer of the gospel of God. The gospel of God is not a proposition for a person to set the target of material prosperity in the first place and where all the actions of a person result in successive financial and material prosperity according to the desire and goal of the one who received the gospel. To know the gospel of God is also to know that in the writings of the gospel itself there are also included texts such as the following. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or the riches. The gospel of God is what it is and how it is. The gospel of God is not modifiable or adjustable to every taste or desire of its recipients. Regarding the gospel of God, the customer is not always right, but God is always right and knows what is good for the recipients of the offer, even when these recipients do not yet know what, in fact, is beneficial for them. Isaiah 55:6-9. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, the gospel of God is offered to all people, and it is shared by the grace of God to those who received it. This aspect, however, does not mean that people can receive the parts that interest them and simply discard those that do not interest them, or that they can imagine or create their versions of the gospel of God. Although the gospel of God does not have limited resources for the benefit of the people who receive it, it may have limits on its acceptance by the recipients also because it needs to be accepted in accordance with what the gospel is and with what it offers. The gospel of God is constant and unchanging from the moment of its conception and throughout all eternity, and it is quite probable that the immutability of the gospel of God is also one reason why it is so despised despite the immeasurable virtues of God's goodness. The constancy and firmness of the gospel of God are also aspects that can make it less attractive to those who seek their own interests and not the interests of true justice, peace, and life. The gospel of God is broad enough to save people in the most diverse situations in which they encounter themselves on earth, as well as, together with salvation, to grant them new life shared from the heavenly kingdom. The gospel of God came to save those who are subjected to darkness and under the shadow of death to grant them a new life and a new walking according to the will of God. The gospel of God, however, is inflexible about the contents that are offered and how these contents are offered to people. If people, in general, understood that the gospel of God is immutable, and if they would invest more in the understanding of what it really is, also to know better the greatness that is already in it, instead of trying to change it and shape it to their own interests, many of them probably would come to a more accelerated acceptance of the gospel than they do today. Thus, for more wonderful and extensive that the gospel of God is, the receiving of the offer of this gospel depends on the recipient of the gospel to hear how it is, to see what it is, and to accept it how it is. When a person receives the gospel of God as God offers it, one cooperates with the Lord and oneself so that the revelation of the gospel also grows and manifests itself more widely in his or her life each new day. Romans 5, 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6, 1-2. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Matthew 13, 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. The gospel of God can be received in such a way that abundant grace comes from it. The gospel is offered so that a person can receive grace upon grace. John 1, 16-17. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The gospel of God, however, can also be rejected by the hardness of one's heart in receiving it. The gospel of God, although it offers eternal salvation and endless benefits, finds a limit or border, to be shared, in the disposition of the heart of those to whom it is offered. At this point of this subject, we would like to express that the explanation of this chapter is not intended to accentuate condemnation or accusation to any person, even if they have already despised or rejected the gospel of God on several occasions. Instead, the purpose is to emphasize the importance that every person has in one's relationship with the gospel, so that each one may still incline the heart to this gospel in time to reach the salvation and abundant grace bestowed by the Lord through this heavenly offer. Hebrews 3, 12-15. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. It should be recalled here again, that the reference to the need for the recipient's participation in receiving the offer does not mean to say that people wanted or sought for this gift. The search for the gospel of God is not something that comes from human beings, for people moved so far from their Creator that they even no longer sought him. Romans 3, 10-12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside, they have together become unprofitable, there is none who does good, no, not one. As we have said several times above, the gospel of God is an offer as a gift, and as such, it has its origin in the one who presents this offer. The initiative to offer the gospel comes from God and proceeds from him regardless of whether the recipients of the gospel accept it or not. God extends his offer to the whole humanity. Nevertheless, the delivery of the gospel takes into account the disposition that the recipient of the gospel has in receiving it. Romans 3:21-26. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. The initiative to expose the offer of the gospel of God to the world is from the Lord, and He presents Himself at the door of every human heart to also present His heavenly offer. However, to open or does not open the heart is in the hands of those to whom the gospel has been offered. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Even though the gospel of God already has been publicly and openly revealed to the world, when God sent His beloved Son to provide for the redemption of the people who dwell in it, the offer to the acceptance of this gospel still continues to be done to every individual and still awaits personal participation in faith of each recipient of the gospel. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Moreover, at the end of this chapter, we would like to emphasize once again that the greatest characteristic of the offer of God in His gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation in the gospel of God outside the acceptance of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross of Calvary for the redemption of the recipients of the gospel of God. The acceptance or non-acceptance of the gospel of God is equivalent, respectively, to the acceptance or non-acceptance of the Lordship of Christ. Therefore, if one is willing and accepts the Lordship of Christ in his or her life, one receives the gospel of God. However, if one is not willing to accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ in his or her life, one is also unwilling to accept the gospel of God. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Timothy 1:8-12. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. Chapter 4. The gospel of God is the last good news of God for the salvation of the human being. Revelation 14:6-7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water." When it was mentioned, during the present subject, that the gospel of God is eternal, this also reflects in many crucial aspects related to the longevity of the offer contained in the gospel of God. The fact that the gospel of God is everlasting also causes that its effects are equally eternal. What God has made available through the gospel to be accessed by human beings can never be overcome in the future, not even in eternity. What God has made available and continues to make available through His gospel is the greatest offer of all time and is the greatest delivery of a gift ever made or that can be made in the universe. Galatians 4:3-7. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The everlasting offer, the greatest offer that God has made available to humans and that will never be overcome, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the Son of God's love. He is the good news from which every other good news derives, whether on earth or in heaven, whether at present, in the short future, or through all eternity. Colossians 1:13-20. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. The riches of God are found in Christ, and which are granted to us through the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ephesians 3:8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Translated from Portuguese or Spanish. Thus, considering that the work of redemption performed by Christ has been unique and forever, that the gospel is called the eternal gospel, that in Christ already there are unsearchable riches, and that the gospel is also unique and unchanging, it is already exposed to humanity, by several aspects, that the gospel is also the last offer of God for the eternal salvation of human beings. Hebrews 9:27-28. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Acts 4:11-12. This Jesus is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In this way, if any recipient of the gospel of God is still waiting for a better offer than the offer of God in the person of Christ Jesus, or is expecting a different offer than the remission of sins by the sacrifice of Christ, this recipient is waiting in vain, because Christ is the offer of God that has been given to humanity once and forever. If one recipient does not want Christ, there is no other offer stored in God that can redeem and save him or her for eternity and that can re-establish his or her relationship with the eternal Father. Christ was the only begotten Son of the Heavenly Father when He was given for the redemption of people, and Christ remains the only one through whom a person can receive the gift of the heavenly and eternal life that is provided by God. Considering that God gave His highest and best gift when He gave His only begotten Son to be the mediator of the reconciliation of every person with their Creator, God has nothing higher or better to offer to the human beings in order for them to accept to be reconciled with the Lord. In addition, the scriptures alert us to the fact that those who do not believe in Christ, as announced by the gospel of God, try to impute to God the status that he is a liar. 1 John 5:10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Christ is the eternal offer of God to all who accept the offer of reconciliation with the eternal Creator. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The gospel of God expresses the greatest offer of the ages and eternity. The gospel of God expresses, through his Son Jesus Christ, the highest offer of all time of the Heavenly Father's love toward the creature. At present, it may be that a person still does not see the greatness of God's love as one will see when he or she will be face to face with Christ in eternity. However, the option for this love and the option to begin a close relationship today with the Lord are already available to those who believe in this offer of God. Moreover, finally, the gospel of God also expresses how a person can believe and receive Christ as well as how a person can live the new life in Christ Jesus. Therefore, our prayer before God is that this material may serve as a stimulus and help to understand the greatness of what is offered through the gospel of God, and also for that the readers or listeners may understand that there is an essential participation of themselves in the process of receiving or not receiving this gospel. Our prayer before God is still so that His grace might also conduct those who make the choice of receiving the gospel to a growth and deepening in it. Our prayer is for the Lord to help the Christians of this generation no longer be content to stay only at the superficiality of the gospel, and that they do not think that there is nothing else for them in the gospel after the first time they believed in the heavenly salvation that is in Christ Jesus. May the Lord keep extending His abundant grace on earth, so that also and again in these days a trustworthy announcement of His eternal gospel may be heard abundantly and widely. May the Lord grant His mercy also in this current days, so that the billions living in the world nowadays may come to the clear knowledge that there is a real offer of life that is according to God's will for them. Moreover, that they might reach a sober understanding that the offer of the gospel of God has been made available once and for all and that it should never be despised, for the gospel is the singular, unique, and the perennial offer of God for eternal salvation and life. Our hope is that the Lord may grant His goodness with a great measure also in the present generation so that the people who are part of it may receive clear opportunities to repent of their ways that distance them from the eternal offer of the Heavenly Father. B. May listen to the offer of God with understanding so that they also may, with proper freedom, choose to live in it for the benefit of their life. C. May see the testimony of the gospel of God be strengthened and expanded throughout the entire earth. Our expectation, related to the recipients of the offer of God, is that they may understand the purpose of the gospel regarding their lives to no longer resist the mercy and grace of God, as well as that each of them may accept it readily and advance to enjoy the wonderful, unique, and precious lordship of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3 14-19. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Psalms 119, 41. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Final greetings. Psalms 146, 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Revelation 14, 7. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. The texts narrated in this audio are posted at www.zoominchristianlife.org. Greetings of peace, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ.